Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It is time for your TNA Impact post show. It's January 16th, 2025. I am at Joel Pearl, or at the Joel Pearl over on the blue sky, the JoelPearl.com. Great. Ready. Wonderful. Anyway, now that you know, and now that you can find me, Cresta Star is with me as she always is. The wonderful, amazing, fantastic. And I see her on Sunday this week as well. How you doing, Cresta?
I'm doing well. Double the dose, double the Cresta. Cresta and Joel with our special guest. Well, our recurring guest, regular Steven Jensen, will be here on Sunday. I'm okay. I'm swell. Like I said, Bill, in the crossover, my energy is high, so I'm going to chill out. Let's do this.
Nah, you don't have to do that. You just bring your energy. You'll be all right.
I'm trying to think of who has the most energy in TNA, and all I keep thinking is Johnny Swinger, and I don't know if I want that energy.
You do want that one, Daddy.
Daddy, let's go.
That's the energy everyone should be going after. We mentioned Sunday. Sunday is TNA Genesis. The show just got a little bit bigger from some news that dropped via WWE and TNA. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The partnership is not only back on, well, never really left, but now it is solidified. There was a press release with some renewed synergies coming up, but Genesis has now become a bigger show. We were always going to do a post show on Sunday. It looks like it just got a little bit more important. Myself, Cresta Star, and of course the aforementioned Steven Jensen will join us after the show on Sunday the 19th to talk about that and a whole lot more. Hell, maybe even Sean Ross Sapp will show up, because let's face it, when there's a big old news story to drop, especially at a TNA pay-per-view, the first of the year, he usually comes around and says hi. So we're looking forward to that. But tonight we're going to talk about the go home to Genesis. This was taped like a month ago, so at this point it's already gone home. It's already, you know, ordered Uber Eats a few times. It's had some leftovers, took out the trash a couple weeks ago, and then decided, oh, maybe I should patch the roof because it's been a little while. They even had, you know, some friends come over and have a party. They've really warmed the place in, and then there's pay-per-views. So overall, though, that was a pretty good show. It was a pretty good go home. A lot more talky talk. They had a lot of stories that they needed to tell in a very short amount of time. But overall, I enjoyed the show. What did you think of this go home for Impact?
I thought it was a very good go home. I must commend the long form video packages for Ace Austin and Joe Hendry. I think that TNA does a really good job when they do wrestler profiles, especially before a big match, that make you really feel like this is the guy you need to root for, even if it's quote unquote the villain, the heel. Ace Austin's profile tonight was very well shot. It touched on everything, and I really commend them for that. This tonight was a really good go home, even if it was a go home that already went home and then came back because it forgot something, moved back home, and then left again.
They did the dishes. They ran the dishwasher. They really got everything. They realized you don't put plastics in the dishwasher. That's not good.
It might melt, love.
Yeah, it might melt, and also it might just give you some troubles later on. But anyway, don't know why we went into those actions, but we did.
I don't know. Sometimes get weird tonight. Let's do it.
Weird. You know what? Get weird with us. Go ahead, drop a like on the video if you haven't already. What is wrong with you? Do the thumbs up right now. Let's get to it. If you haven't subscribed to us here at youtube.com/Fightful, you also should be doing that. If you're listening in the audio realm, drop us a 5-star review. That goes super duper far in getting your ears connected with other ears of like-minded people talking about wrestling. And we're one of the good ones, if I do say so myself. So go ahead, get up in there. 5-star reviews, thumbs up. subscribe. If you want to donate a little bit of money to our cause, you're welcome. We are self-funded here at Fightful, not only through Fightful Select, the best five, soon to be $6 in the business. We have your sixes, or we want your six. So Sean's trying to rebrand this thing. We'll get there. I promise. We want your six. It's a verse. Anyway, whatever. Fightful Select is one way. And also you can donate to Super Chat any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. You can also go to humperchats.com. Cresta, tell them how so that I can shut up.
Ah, I got you, pal. You're going to head on over to humperchats.com, HumperChats.com, and you're going to put your comment in the comment box, your dollar amount in the dollar box, and we get to keep a little bit more of the donation amount. Everyone's happy. Sean gets to pay us. You get to pay us. Don't be weird, but come be weird with us. HumperChats.com.
Yeah, be the good kind of weird.
Be the funny weird.
Yeah, the funny weird. By the way, the Fightful Awards are this Sunday as well, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's going to run here. So don't worry. You can still watch Genesis. You can even watch pre-show, because the awards, they're not going to go an hour. Or maybe they will. I don't know. I'm not the one hosting or producing them. But either way, they exist. So you should check it out. That's this Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, Fightful Awards right here on this channel. You should be watching. And then, of course, check out our post show for TNA Genesis, because that's why you're here, is to talk TNA. So why don't we jump right into it? Leon Slater defeats Trent Seven. That's a wrap on Trent Seven. Got a couple of those tonight, I think. I'd like Frankie Kazarian on commentary. Well, the first thing he does is take credit for getting Leon Slater signed while they were on the UK tour last year. And you've got Hannifin being like, oh, it's factual, but like, shouldn't have to say it. And then you got Raywall being like, but it's true and it's great. I thought this was a solid match. I knew what to expect, but other than that, you got the 450 Swanton for the win from Leon Slater, and Trent Seven looks good on the way out, and this was it. My only question to you, Cresta Star, is before that Swanton 450, what the hell was Leon Slater going for from the stage dive? Yeah,
I forgot I was muted. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Cause I saw him going back and I'm like, let me get my notes so I can write down. By the time I looked down and looked up, this man was midair. And I was like, Leon Slater, what? I'm not mad, because the way he turned it onto the top rope was really cute. I'm looking at my notes. Don't judge me, y'all. It was real cute, but I'm like, I don't know what he was going for, but it worked. Trent Seven lost.
It's all that matters.
A W is a W no matter how you slice it. I think this match was really good. Like you said, I think him kicking out of the Birmingham, a move that's been very well protected in TNA. I have something in my eye. I don't mind my facial expressions, y'all. Kicking out of the Birmingham looked really strong on Leon Slater. I don't know what we do next with Leon Slater. I low-key want him to beat up Frankie Kazarian, just because Frankie Kazarian right now is such a good smarmy heel. He's so oily, greasy in the best kind of way. I do like him on commentary, but I do want him to get beat up also. I know that's very fickle of me, but I'm a wrestling fan. Don't judge me.
I mean, it might happen at the countdown, because Frankie and Leon Slater are going to have a match on Sunday before the show goes live. So that could be it. This is when we give our thoughts on, we'll run down the Genesis card and give our predictions, because we usually like to do that when we go to a go home show, get ready for the pay-per-view. But there's two ways that Kazarian and Slater match can go, and I'm interested in your thoughts when we get there. And at the end of this match, Frankie Kazarian got into the ring, applauded Leon Slater, and that was it. They just let it go. Now, the next segment, oh, baby. There were some people who are not frequent TNA watchers who did not enjoy this and loved this. The Elegance tag title pre-launch. There was other stuff that happened. Doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. The Joe Hendry interview, he was just like, I've got to be champion because I love this business, and who cares? But the Elegance is...
Time out. What was that accent?
Don't know. Don't care. Don't wonder. Don't ask about it.
My apologies. I never saw anything. Please continue, sir.
It's usually it's one thing, but I just went a complete different way this time. Don't know why.
Kind of sounded like Shrek. I'm sorry.
Don't all people from the UK sound like that?
Yo, we're both dead.
When I do it on In the Weeds, it's usually more of a Drew McIntyre thing. People are just like, is that Shrek? I'm just like, I don't know.
Listen, the voice of Shrek speaks through you.
What's amazing is that wasn't Shrek, wasn't that Mike Myers?
Yes, Notorious Scottish Mike Myers. Actually, you're right.
Notoriously Scottish Mike Myers, who is also Canadian, last I checked.
That's what makes it funnier.
So if nothing else, I'm in the right lane.
This is a show about DNA.
Or is it?
Or is it?
Iceman got standees with the Knockouts tag titles of the Elegant Scissors. Ashley grabs the mic and thanks her team, including their Starbucks barista, their personal Starbucks barista. And Iceman's waiting the whole time for a special shout out. And I was like, are they going to leave him out of it and like do a thing and tease some tension? No, they didn't. They thanked him and he was all happy. And then Heather does the same shtick and then Spitfire comes out and they're like, this isn't elegance. It's just delusion, which I like that line.
That was a good line.
Yeah, they said elegance is just like, you belong on the clearance rack. And then Ash is just like, it was funny. Is it not funny? I thought that was funny. Like, you're trying. I don't think it's going to work. Spitfire tosses out the elegance, is beat up the standees. And that was the segment. What did you think of this? Because, like, it was camp for camp's sake, but I need your thoughts.
My favorite part of this is when, not Jody Threat, when Danny Luna ripped off the head. Ripped off the head of Ash by Elegance, because it was just so stupid. And then when she threw it at her, Ash starts screaming at it like it's her head. And in that moment, I said what you said. Oh, this is camp for camp's sake. This is so silly. I live for that. That one moment right there saved the whole segment for me, because this segment was not for me in its entirety. But that moment, was it for that moment? I don't care. Yes. I laughed. You got me to laugh, so I win. I vote for you. It was great. For what it was, I'm just a little dismayed that Spitfire is really going to lose. And also, I thought Jody Threat's hair looked very beautiful tonight. Those curls, if she does, whoever does it, those are my notes.
No, I agree with you. She looked great. The acting is, you know, leaves a little bit to be desired. But I this is the one thing with Jody that I've spoken to her on and off the air about, and so I don't mind making reference to this. Like our first interview when she was first with TNA, Jeremy and I on In the Weeds, we talked about, are you working on character and acting and things like that? And she's like, that's something that I'm really working on, like getting better about. And she has. I think Jody Threat has come a super long way from where she started a couple years ago with TNA as a character to like getting more comfortable with the microphone and cutting a promo, and it could be a short promo even, or just being out there and like projecting, you know. And I think that's good. I think this segment was stupid, but like,
oh yeah, oh absolutely,
that's kind of supposed to be, and that's just what the elegances is are. And yes, it sucks that they're going to win the tag. Well, it doesn't suck, because it just plays into the entire arc of what I've been telling people for the last year now, that the elegances are going to win. And And then Havoc will show up eventually, and that'll be the next tag team title holders.
When Joel is right. I want to question you all the time, and I want to push back just because it's not what I want. But then I have to remember all the times you were right and I was wrong.
Well, so, who else are you going to have in that tag division?
I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't think that Spitfire should be broken up, but I can agree that something needs to happen with the Knockouts division tag titles right now. I do think we need maybe one or two more tag teams, but, you know, hey, that's another conversation.
I mean, you're going to get an influx of NXT talent soon enough. Coming
that's around. True.
There are a lot of women in that NXT women's division. There are some tag teams that could be formed. There are some partnerships and some matches that could come out of that. We'll get a little more into the partnership stuff shortly, but that's just kind of where I'm at. And I don't necessarily think Spitfire gets broken up out of this. I think it'll be, if anything, they should do a you go your way, I'll go mine in singles division, but we have each other's backs because we're still friends. We get it.
I agree with that. I don't think there needs to be like a you cause us to lose at all. I do think there is a world where Danny Luna is in the Knockouts women's main title division. And I do think there's a world where Jody's even in the X division or the digital media title division. So,
although I am interested as to what a Jody Threat heel turn would look like. So there is that. I'm just putting it out there. Gia Miller is backstage with PCO and Sami Callihan. Will they beat the Hardys, or will PCO work GCW Hammerstein on Sunday? The answer may shock you.
Honestly, the answer did shock me.
Really?
This was surprising. And I feel like we spoke about this before. I also want to say that earlier when you were doing your Scottish accent and I said we were banned, I was really laughing because I said, is this monster or is this French? And I'm like, damn, you can't go to Canada anymore now.
No, you can, because we ask the same question about the Quebecois all the time. Is this monster or is this French?
I laughed, but I was like, I don't know what's happening here. I was sports confused.
I continue to ask the question, is PCO under TNA contract? I will continue to ask that question for the next, until I get an answer. Because at this point, he again was signed. He was the first TNA signee when they rebranded. And that was October 2023. TNA traditionally does one-year deals. We don't know if he's still under contract. He still has the digital media championship and that whatever the international Canadian world heavyweight championship that like he basically owns it. That they don't care about the digital media championship. They don't. It's fine. They can easily just strip him of it and be like, he worked Hammerstein instead of us. But I just don't know what PCO's contract status is. And someone in the chat's like, imagine PCO wrestling on an NXT show. Yeah, I would love to imagine it, but I'd also like to imagine PCO, I don't know, working for TNA still after this week.
I agree with that. I'm also trying to think, would he wrestle in NXT? And I don't want to, but yeah, I don't know what we do here. Like I said, I kind of thought that it was going to be a three-way because that would make it a big, and if there's a kerfuffle, we can always say, this is why this happened. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah, no, I knew that they weren't getting in because I knew that they announced the PCO gimmick that, like, last week that he was going to be at Hammerstein.
But also, too, we didn't even have, at the end of that, we didn't even have a heel turn. You know what I mean? Nothing was resolved. There was no 23 resolution. It was just clean and on to the next segment. So I'm like, brr?
So that's why I think they'll bring PCO in for the live show, just so that they can have Sammy write him off for good. Do the 23andMe reveal.
Not.
What? Prove me wrong.
I won't, Your Honor.
The bad guy is actually the Ancestry database.
23andMe to prove PCO is a monster and he's a murderer.
Not only that, monsters and murderers are not allowed to legally compete in any sort of professional wrestling arena. So what do you want, a lawsuit or an exorcism?
We'll see. I do still think Sammy Callahan is a stupid 23. It's very funny. People are like, what if it's this person? What if it's this person? I'm like, well, what if it's Sammy Callahan? Because it's Sammy Callahan.
I mean, but you know, let people dream. What if it's Penta? I'm kidding.
Surprise me. Do something fun.
Drop it in the comments. Surprise Joel. New segment. Surprise Joel.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what? If you work in the TNA front office, tell me who it is so I can have a good laugh over it not being Sammy. It is Sammy, don't say anything. Eric Young and Steve Maclin defeat First Class. My favorite part of the announcement today from the TNA WWE renewed partnership was AJ Francis getting every single possible joke off that he possibly could. I loved it. He spent all day on Twitter just tweeting about his return to WWE based on this announcement. Oh God.
I'll be real with you. I was one of the AJ Francis haters, because I think hate is a strong word. I don't dislike the man. I was a naysayer. But watching this come full circle, if I were him, I'd be getting my jokes off too. Y'all would be sick. Y'all would have to mute my account. You'd have to mute my account. Oh, my mic dropped. I got scared. It's like, no matter what, that's so funny. From literally flop dollar to right back. So no money. I hate it because it's good. I'm hating because it's good. I would be getting my jokes off too. Do your big one.
I think the best part about this is people who hate on AJ Francis, again, do not understand the stuff he's done outside of the ring for wrestling. Mm-hmm. And the people he's brought in and the voices that he's platformed and the ideas that he's had, I will openly sing his praises because he has proven that he keeps himself in conversation and he's got a mind for this. Do I think he's like, he should be world champion tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you that he should or shouldn't, but like I think he's undersold to a lot of people, and more people should be understanding of what AJ brings to the table. So I had fun watching him get his jokes off because it's funny. Meanwhile, this match, this was just to solidify Eric Young and Steve Maclin as a tag team. First class is first class. They're going to be fine. They've announced. So Maclin gets the scut on AJ. EY hits the top rope elbow drop on Casey Navarro for the win.
Did you say Sons of Maclin?
But no, it's the scud.
No, before that, did you call him and Eric Young Sons of Maclin?
No.
What did I hear?
I don't know.
What? Yo, Sean, turn off the music upstairs.
I also sometimes say words and Jeremy catches me on in the weeds and is like, that's not what you said. And I just don't think that's what I said. Maybe it is. Someone rewind the tape. I don't care. Eric, I said EY. I said Maclin with the scut on AJ. EY with the top rope elbow drop on Casey Navarro for the win.
You know what? Maybe I could be wrong.
Well, regardless, this is setting up for Genesis. It's Maclin and EY versus Myers and Edwards. So that's a fun tag match. I'm looking forward to that. The match between Maclin and EY versus the Hardys, that's going to be a good match when they get there. I don't think that's happening tomorrow. I don't think it's happening soon. It could happen as early as Sacrifice, which is the show after Genesis. But like, you can play that out at Rebellion. I think I'd have fun with that. But what do you think of the Maclin and Young versus First Class match?
I think that Casey Navarro is incredibly freaking talented. I feel bad that he got beat up. They were not pulling their punches, and he could take a hit. And I don't know if that's a compliment, but Casey Navarro, has a very bright future. And also commentary kept putting that over, that his 2025 is looking bright as well. They kept showing this guy in the crowd, and there was a moment there where Casey mushed him and he mushed him back. It looked for a hot moment, but both of them were selling to me. It kind of looked real. And then when AJ yoked him up, I was like, oh my God, that's a fan. That's a paying customer. That moment I thought was very interesting, but also very cool as well. I think that AJ Francis brings a level of, let's bring everybody into this to get more eyes on this. And there's a certain business sense about him, even when he wrestles. So I think that it was just enough to be like, what are you doing, sir? So I got to give it to those two guys. Eric Young and Steve Maclin winning obviously was the right choice. And I honestly kind of hope that they beat the system on Sunday.
I would expect them to. I think it's time for the system to kind of, you know, start going down a little bit.
I agree, but I've also been wrong, so.
That's fair, but Eric Young and Steve Maclin are a newer, fresher tag team. They had their matches, they had their feud. I think it's now time to explore what that tag team can look like. And again, go up against the Hardys. This is, in some ways, I don't know if I want to call it a dream match, but at least it's a match that has a lot of intrigue, watching the Hardys go up against two, like, big beefy guys, whereas the Hardys were high flying types back in their day. I would like to see that match. I don't know when we would see it. Like I said, Rebellion is a possibility, or they just run it on TV, because Young and Maclin are not exactly a tag team behemoth type of match or type of team, but you can tell that they're definitely making a play for Maclin and EY as a tag team in the interim.
I want to ask you, do you think that this was a kind of like pivot from Jake Something and Hammerstone being the big beefy guys, and now you have someone like Maclin and Eric Young put together? Not mad at it, but do you think that's a pivot that they did, considering that Hammerstone is injured at the moment?
That is a really good question, and I would not be surprised if that was part of the decision. And it's a good pivot if it is, because Something and Hammerstone are not the same build as Maclin and EY, but they can do similar things. Maclin and EY as like bigger, as like stockier dudes. Something in Hammerstone were definitely going somewhere as a tag team.
Yeah.
They'll probably bring that back. But for now, let Maclin and EY kind of, you know, figure themselves out. Let them cook, as the kids say.
I like that. I agree with that. Okay, work, Diva. I don't know why I said that.
No. I love it. Makes me feel young and hip.
Yes. Yes. Your big one.
No, like I have a cracked rib and feel like shit.
I mean, two things can be true at the same time.
That is true. Let's go to confession. Actually, Jews don't do this. Is this typically how a confession goes, where two people sit in a box and they talk at each other through this box? I thought a priest was part of this.
I got to tell you something, brother. I grew up Seventh-day Adventist and now I'm a devout atheist. I don't know how that works either. I don't know how that works.
This is the perfect team, you and I, trying to figure out what was confession.
Name that religious.
Anyway, the point here is that Masha Slamovich and Rosemary plan on killing each other, and that's the bit.
I gotta tell you, this match, I hate it all. Oh, pal. I am looking forward to this match, but I'm not looking forward to this match. This match is going to be superb, delicious, wrestling. This match is going to be bloody. No. And then a Raven's Clockwork Orange, that's a fancy word from saying teehee. I don't want to see that, bro. I'm gonna like this. It was a good confessional though. This was shot to me very well, and I see where Rosemary is coming from, talking about the 7 years I haven't had championship gold and everything that I was, the deathmatch queen, the brutal girl. They now gave that to you. That's my line. It's my giving. You stole my line. And Masha's like, that's not my fault. That's your fault, pal. Don't blame me. I know this match again. I know this match is going to be superb. But I am weak. I'm S-A-W-F-T. I am soft. What did you think about this, Joel?
I liked it. By the way, the guy who says soft was in the main event tonight on Collision for the taping for Saturday. So I was putting it out there.
The tall one?
Yeah, the tall one.
Okay, I'm about to say when.
No, S-A-W-F-T was, that was.
I didn't know what, I came late to the game. I didn't know he said it too, but I know the shorter one of the two said it. And I liked him until someone was like, listen, I thank you before you like him.
Hey, there's a lot of things that happened. But anyway, the point is here, he's Saturday, but they tape it tonight. Anyway, not important. I enjoyed this. I mm-hmm. did. I just joke about it because I'm like, I'm a little bit lost here because I've never done confession or something that we do. But also the way that the traditionally TV style of confession is someone sits in a booth and through a veil, you see the other person, you know, what have you done, my child, or how can I help you? This was just two people sitting in a box with a divider in between. And they could have easily just went after each other and beat the shit out of each other. One thing I would have done differently is make it look like they were opposite each other, but like not there at the same time, so that they're talking, but they're not like one fades in, one fades out type of thing, or like digitally out in and out of the shot. You could have done something like that, but it doesn't matter because the match is what you're selling. And the story, like you said, is right there. It was Masha has become what Rosemary used to be, and Masha didn't ask to be that person. She just kind of took on the mantle, and Rosemary now has to basically figure out if she is still that person 8 years later after not being the Knockouts World Champion. It's a fine story. I understand who's going to win this match. There's no surprise. But they needed to make this a plunder match to make the other Knockouts match not hold as much weight as it already does. So it makes sense to do it this way.
I also understand from, I guess, a building storyline standpoint, both of these competitors know that they're about to kill each other, figuratively speaking. So I can sit here, I can be calm. I'm not going to get crazy with you because on Sunday, I'm going to get crazy with you. So I'm going to tell you all the things that I want to do. That's not going to matter. Because I feel like in this moment, they're going to let the blood do the talk. And so not mad at it. I understand why they did that. But I do understand your point too. I think the cinematography of it would be better if it was like them facing away from each other and fading in. Because it kind of just looks like they're just, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I can't articulate it as well as you.
Yeah, they were sitting in a box. And they were sitting in a box with a divider. I wish they had done the same thing, box with a divider, but that they were there at different times.
Yeah. or at least opposite, like make it look like they're not facing each other or they're not like right night next to each other.
Yeah, there was a way to do it, but either way, it works for what they were doing. Northern Armory and Santana promo. I like that they brought in the footage from Prestige. For those who don't know, Sinner and Saint are also Alan Angels guys in Prestige. Alan Angels is also the champion of Prestige Wrestling, so the match was Angels versus Santana this past weekend. Santana lost. Second. Yeah.
So
yeah, dick punching Alan Angels. He's the champion of Prestige Wrestling.
So Icarus and Travis Williams follow behind two bald guys.
Yeah. Two bald guys who look alike, no less.
Why? So they're following Mini Josh. I'm kidding. Alan Angels, please don't beat me up. I'm soft. I'll take the pin. But I just thought it was funny. It's like, wait a minute. So wait, you're following Alan. And he's bald. All right. Not you guys getting tricked twice.
Maybe they just think that the West Coast shrinks Josh Alexander. They put him in the dryer too long on the West Coast.
The same guy. Hey,
Josh, call me Alan. Oh, okay. I guess that's okay.
That's fine.
Alan, why aren't you wearing your singlet and your headpiece? And you don't worry. I'm different.
That's how they do it on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's called a gimmick change. That's what we do out here.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anyway, the point is Sinner and Saint took out Santana after the match with Alan Angels, and they kind of said, you know, oh, it's also going to happen when you face Josh Alexander at Genesis. I like that they used the Prestige footage. I like that they did that because it's a perfect little nod to what goes on outside of TNA, and also the fact that, like, these people exist and that they wrestle outside of TNA. They're journeyman wrestlers. Like, they're out there. Alexander says Santana won't make it to Genesis, can't make it. And so, of course, out comes Santana. The whole time, everyone in the crowd is just chanting bald ass head, because that's what you do.
I love this crowd for that. Damn.
The best. And then eventually, this whole thing devolves into Alexander and Santana becoming an I Quit match at Genesis, which is great. I'm a big fan. And Alexander's like, I will shake your hand if you get me to say I quit. And I'm like, all right, so he's going to shake Alexander's hand. Alexander's going to shake Santana's hand at the end of this. And then Santana says, I will be the new standard of TNA. And what did I tell you weeks ago, Crest the Star, that as Josh Alexander prepares to move along and do whatever's next in his career, this will end with Santana becoming the new guy in TNA, the new heart and soul, and Alexander will shake the hand.
I mean, he's about to go to NXT.
That's what's funny about this too, is there is an entire possibility that these two will see each other again soon.
So here's the funny thing, right? I was thinking, I was writing this note when we first started doing the show together, I had made a joke about the North and you're like, they're done with that. And now we've come full circle again. I love wrestling, man.
I mean, we're not there yet, but yes.
This was great. I will say Mike Santana had a very New York moment twice this time when he said, you caught me slipping, I'll admit. And I'm like, all right, it takes a grown man to admit when you're caught slipping. And then at the end, he said, I know I got you flustered. I see that vein in your bald ass head. I'm like, Mike Santana, stop. This man's already dead. You got the crowd chanting bald, bald ass head. And I think baldy at one point. Jesus Christ.
Bald ass head, bald ass head.
But anyway. It's an easy thing to cheer. If you give the crowd something easy to cheer, an easy gimmick, oh, they're going to do it.
It's true. I look forward to this match. Again, another really fun match incoming. I think it might be the match of the night, quite frankly, for Genesis. And then we'll, you know, kind of see what the Santana story is. I have my feelings, and we've talked about it on this show. And I hope that it goes the way that I think it will. Jake Something defeating Laredo Kid went exactly the way you think it would, because Crest of Star, what happens to luchadors in TNA?
Even my friends in my Discord know it now, that luchadors, unfortunately, in TNA lose, unless something freaky happens. But 99% of the time, luchadors lose in TNA. Unless you're Brian Cage. He won for a minute, and no one expects him to be a luchador.
He's not wearing a mask, so it's okay. I like this match, though. Laredo Kid being the speed guy, and that's just the way that he's got to outpace Jake Something. That was fun. Jake Something punching Laredo Kid out of midair was hilarious, though. They made a good sell on that commentary. They did a Canadian Destroyer spot that they had to turn into a flipping DDT because it was a little mistimed. And then, of course, there was the turnaround into Laredo Kid basically face planting.
I called it a flapjack mishap.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way of putting it. It was very strange and unexpected. And they're like, oh, he was landing on his face there. And I'm like, that wasn't very good. Something bomb from the top rope gets the win. Just a showcase match for Jake Something. And Laredo Kid looked good too.
Same, ditto, because I have one note that says nice counter on Jake Something for a flapjack mishap.
That's all it was. The Ace Austin segment, you made reference to it earlier. I also really, really liked it. I thought it was very strong, thought it was well shot. I thought they did a really good job of making Ace Austin relatable again. While showing Chris Bay a lot of love, talking about their companionship, their tag team work, but also shifting to make the singles run important for Ace Austin going into Sunday. What do you think of the Ace Austin segment? Did it buy you in more to the Ace Austin singles run, or were you already there?
I'm already on the Quadzilla hype train. I'm going to be real with you. I think Ace Austin is fantastic. I do think that with the announcement today, this is a great way to introduce him to viewers who may not be necessarily know him from, or may know him from different parts of different segments of wrestling. I like that they talked about Bullet Club. I like how they're like, hey, you know, Bullet Club was there, but then we kind of made our own thing. We did our brotherhood. We had this bond. They showed him old footage of him before he was with Chris Bay. I'm very excited for him. I think this was very beautifully shot. It was, again, in a way that's easy to understand if you're someone new to TNA and you're just getting in. And I got a hot pay-per-view on Sunday. I'm brought into the idea of him beating Moose. I think it's very possible. Don't know if it's going to happen, but I think that's the beauty of pro wrestling. If you don't know what's happening, you're brought in. So I want to believe that he could beat Moose. And the way they shot this, the way that it was presented, I believe it. He gave a hometown hero feel.
I'm a big fan of one side of this match connecting to Chris Bay and not having Moose actually use Chris Bay for heat. They started, but then they pulled it back. And I think that the best part about doing that is two things. One, you're not using Bay as cheap heat, one. And yeah. Two, honestly, if you're thinking about it in your predictions, like, if you're trying to build Ace Austin, why would you let the Chris Bay heat? Like, why would you use that now when you know Moose is going to retain that title?
True. And I think it does put, like, instead of using that cheap heat that Moose would have got, it gives him that white meat baby face feel to Ace Austin that you're going against someone who's a notorious jackass, for the lack of a better word.
Yeah, exactly. So, very strong segment. I hope that they keep building stuff like that for anyone who needs that kind of rub. And this was the right thing for Ace Austin. It was good. Like, having him walk around outside, showing him in his home gym, showing him just conditioning, training, getting honest thoughts. It was good. Right up in his face. I really enjoyed it.
I cannot stress enough that TNA does wrestler profiles really well. I think this one was really fantastic. Good on you.
Hardy's defeat PCO and Sami Callihan. Really, my only notes were that PCO was hurt towards the end of this match. You can see him talking to the doctors at the bottom of the screen while the Hardys are doing their finish. And the match was fine. The Hardys are popular. The crowd loved it. But other than that, because I knew the PCO wasn't working Genesis, that gave it away to me. Also, I don't like a triple threat tag match. I don't like a triple threat anything when it's just like shoehorning in an extra tag team. So Hardy's winning made sense, was what it was. What do you think of Hardy's and PCO Sammy?
My first answer is I don't think. I'm kidding. But my actual answer is that, like, I think it was fine. Once the miscommunication happened, I was like, oh, I guess they are losing. I thought, and this was my thought process, is somehow, some shenanigans, if you're like, okay, it's not Sammy Callahan, this 23, whatever it is, take out a Hardy. Now you have these guys in this triple threat. And there's your crutch. So neither the Rascals nor the Hardys have to get pinned. You have them pin PCO or Sammy, and then they turn on each other. And that was my thought process. So them going in tonight and losing, which honestly, the two twists of fate on Sammy Callahan into the Swanton Bomb, man, he was also wrestling stiff earlier, so he deserved that. So, like, I just wonder, what do we do now? And like you said, maybe we do have PCO come in for the live show. If Sammy is 23, have him turn on him there. But I was surprised. I was sports surprised. I was sports entertained by this, but sports surprised nonetheless.
Yeah, it was fine. Again, I couldn't get invested because I knew what was going on. But also, the Hardys are a good tag team. PCO and Sammy Callahan have not been lighting my world on fire.
They're a Franken team.
They're a very Franken team, and this 23 thing just keeps shouting, Sammy Callahan beats up PCO, writes him off, and that's it. They're going to finally kill PCO.
Just have him walk through the undead realm door and go look for Taya.
You can have him going looking for Wendy Chu at this point.
I mean, just go in there. He might come back alive. Who knows? Just go in there. He might come back as Liz still.
One last segment to talk about, and then we can talk about the DNA WWE partnership, and also about Genesis this Sunday. My God, a Sunday paper. Still don't like that. Hendry and Nemeth have a chat, wherein Hendry comes out and says he has to win this. I have to win this. I'm just glad that he's given up on finishing the story. I mean, completing the mission.
That would sound like something more Macklin would say anyway, just saying.
It would be. Nemeth says Hendry isn't ready for the grind of being the TNA World Champion. Sure. They show the JBL footage from Bound for Glory. Those of you who are sticklers for production like I am, Nick Nemeth was saying either JBL or John Bradshaw Layfield live to the crowd, and audio had to edit it to John Layfield.
Uh-huh.
That felt awkward to me, but I kept noticing it because it happened twice in the span of one sentence, and I was like, okay. Nemeth said he didn't know JBL laid out Hendry at Bound for Glory when it happened. Hendry gets cut off by Ryan Nemeth as he's about to ask another question. Ryan comes out and does, my big brother, and then gets a standing ovation set up on him. Nick Nemeth super kicks Joe Hendry. Ryan Nemeth says, big brother, and Nick's like, shut the fuck up. And then they walk to the back, and that's the end of the show. Oh, and then also Jordynne Grace signed a contract, and so did her opponent for Sunday, and then they beat each other up. There you go.
Yes. Joe Hendry and Nick Nemeth was fine. I'm glad that Nick Nemeth addressed the JBL controversy finally, because that was the big question in everyone's mind. Like, you can't keep ignoring this. What are we doing with it? However, I feel like it kind of answered a little bit of something, nothing. You know what I mean? Where I got, yeah, you said you're not working with him. And before you could really finish your thought, here comes your brother, who, Ryan Nemeth, you are playing the hell out of this character, because God bless you. You are so annoying. Oh my God. Oh my God. That little, my big brother. Yo, bro. You know what you're doing, and is doing it to me. So good on him for that. It makes me believe now that JBL and his brother are working together, but he laid him out to take it, make it pump fake. You know what I mean? I have more questions. I'm still sports confused. I don't know what we're doing here. But I guess the chickens is coming home to roost on Sunday. I feel like at Sunday, something has got to give. Because I do kind of agree with Joe Hendry saying that he's got to win. Because if he doesn't, it kind of feels like, what are we doing here? How, like, to quote Joe Pearl, how many times are you going to honey dick us? What are we doing here? And also, yeah, Jordynne Grace signed the contract and beat somebody up.
Hooray. Unfortunately, when it comes to go-home math, that other person's probably going to win. So
disgusting. I thought the same thing too.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's the other thing about the Spitfire thing. People were like, oh, the elegances are celebrating early. No, I was like, well, who stood tall by the end of that segment?
They're standing tall now.
Who stood tall at the end of the Henry Nemeth segment? Yeah.
I don't know.
They cannot do this a third time. You hit a point where it's too much. Backstage, for a second, Nemeth signed an extension on his contract. So he was hard to kill to hard to kill. That was the 1 year deal. The Trinity deal, as we like to call it. Mm-hmm. The we've got enough money to throw at one big free agent to give us the big rub for the year. And that was Nick Nemeth for the year when Trinity was leaving to go back to WWE. He extended for the time, and I assume that's going to be for the next, I don't know, but if I had to guess, he'll do the live, he'll do the pay-per-view, maybe do the live show. And if he does the February live show and tapings as well, then that keeps him on for another little bit. So, all right. You can't have Henry lose again.
Henry wins because Arian cashes in. So I feel like that's some type of
this is it. So this is okay. Since we're here, I will give you my feelings towards this.
Okay.
Henry wins. Kazarian eventually cashes in, but it's not the same day. They're not doing that. They're going to give Joe Henry the thank you for waiting. The thank you for improving with us type of title reign. Mm-hmm. The we're going to give it to you for 4 months, and then at Rebellion, you'll have a great match, you'll win, and then Frankie Kazarian will cash in on you.
Frankie, how long has he got this damn trophy for us?
Yeah, I think it's up to a year, but call your shot is call your shot. Kazarian walking into UBS at Slammiversary with that title to go up against Mike Santana, to me, that's the play. Because you want the guy everybody hates going up against the home city boy that everybody loves.
And they would definitely hate Frankie Kazarian for taking it off of Joe Hendry.
Exactly. So the heat is there. And if you really want to get weird with it, you set it up that it's going to be Hendry and Santana at UBS. And then Frankie, the last second, screws the main event. But you can't do that. The thing is, you could do that. You can do that if it didn't matter that the tickets were sold. Put it like that. Because if fans really wanted to see those two fight and you take that away at the last minute, can't do that. But I think you do tease Henry and Santana, but Kazarian does win the title from Henry. And that'll be that. And again, I like Joe Henry. I like the character. We talk about it frequently. I've never seen Joe Henry as like the going 20 minutes in an epic main event style wrestler. Can he be there? Yes, he can, but he's never been that guy to me, whereas the last few champions have proven that they are that type of person. So Henry will be given a title. He'll do really well. He'll come out at the first live impact and say, I'm going to be the first sitting TNA world champion to enter the Royal Rumble, and that'll be a big deal. JBL will be on Raw on the 20th, and they'll do something with Nemeth, maybe as a crossover, but probably not. I don't know what the JBL situation is. That's going to hopefully come to a head at this show, and then maybe cross over to Monday Night Raw the next night because they're in Dallas and it's, you know, they're close to each other.
I guess as a Joe Hendry fan, I feel like he deserves a little longer reign than thank you, fine, sir. I understand. I think your logic and your reasoning makes sense the way you broke it down. It's just, I guess, a little frustrating because, yeah, you had Nemeth come in, and now you got Santana back, and Cass, and Moose. However, I will say that the strength of TNA is that they've got a strong main event scene, but it's also to the detriment because someone like Joe Hendry, like, he's been cooled off just a touch. So I think, again, the time is now, but I don't know how we get there. And I low-key don't trust that we get there because I do feel like a lot more people feel like you feel like Joe Hendry is not the guy who can go 20 minutes, or he can go eventually, but now is not the time. I think given the opportunity, given a real serious match with someone real serious, I think Joe Hendry could absolutely rise to the occasion. I just don't know how we get there. And it kind of sucks that now that Mike Santana is here, who absolutely is deserving of the world title, is here, it's going to be real rough. And like you said, you can't really do Joe Hendry versus Santana because that'll be fun, But who's going to cheer for who? The crowd is going to be split, or worst case scenario, they turn on somebody.
And I'm going to point out, no one's mentioned this yet in the chat, but I'm sure someone who's listening is going to say, well, how are you going to fill UBS Arena with Frankie Kazarian versus Mike Santana? Well, that's the beauty of TNA, is that they are an ensemble cast. And I can almost guarantee you that the Hardys will have some sort of car crash tag team match that will absolutely bring people in the doors. And that probably won't be the main event, but that Santana moment, for those who know where he's from and what he's done, that's a big moment for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think that's where you do it. I originally talked about doing it at Genesis. And then when they gave Henry the number one contendership, it's like, okay, I see this. This makes sense. Henry having the title for 4 months is not a bad title reign. It's his first. It's his first world championship. Nobody remembers you for your first world title. That's the thing. They'll remember the moment, but like the reign itself, it'll be forgotten by the time he shows up in NXT full time.
That's fair. It's also too, like, what do we do afterwards with him? He wins it, maybe have a rubber match with Nick Nemeth, and then you go on from there. I hope that there's a way for him to capitalize. Because I do feel a little slighted still that they didn't put the title on him in the first place. And I agree with you. You can't keep doing this to us. You can't keep getting away with this TNA.
Yeah, and I think that it would be in bad faith to do something like that. So now becomes the bigger conversation that, and we'll do a full Genesis preview in a minute. WWE and TNA announced that their partnership is solidified. It's now a multi-year partnership. What a lot of folks hopefully have noticed was that it is to work with NXT. It's not to work with WWE. It is to work exclusively with the talent, just like the way it started, where your Jordan Graces, your Joe Hendrys, your Frankie Kazarians go over to NXT. On the TNA side, you're going to see your Saul Rukas, your Wendy Chus, your Brinley Reeses, you're going to see Nathan Frazier, not Nathan Frazier. Yeah, it was Nathan. No, Riley Osborne. You'll see people like that coming around. And that's not a bad thing. It's a developmental thing, because that's what we're working on. TNA does not have the leverage that WWE does in this particular case. That doesn't mean that it won't be interesting, and that doesn't mean that it won't be fun, or that it could be a different program after even a year. But I hope that people keep their expectations in check when it comes to what this could mean. I think we'll see certain TNA stars in the Royal Rumble. I think Vengeance Day will have a big TNA presence, especially because now NXT is going to be featured at Genesis, which kind of happened out of nowhere. You could see some sort of, you know, warfare story building up, but I don't think the titles are going to cross over too much. That's kind of where I'm at with that. What do you think of this when you heard about the partnership?
I'm not mad about it. If it is what it was, I'm excited for the exposure for both ends. The idea of the Royal Rumble, whether it's Joe Hendry, Josh Alexander, I saw someone earlier call him Canadian Kurt Angle, and I cried. I wouldn't be mad at it. I'm not upset at it. I think that TNA is a wonderful product. I think that sometimes the jokes are deservedly so, but overall, the performers there are overall just really great athletes, really great wrestlers, professional wrestlers. So I want to be optimistic. I'm going on the era of last time, it didn't feel like whatever, but it does. It'll always feel like, for exposure, we want the best of your best, and you're going to help train our kids. And hey, listen, it is what it is. I think everyone wrestling different styles makes them more well-rounded. And there might be a situation or a path where TNA gets a better TV deal, more in homes, where you guys are seeing more TNA stuff. There's a way for it. TNA does have a legacy with your Kurt Angles and your Samoa Joes and a lot of AJ Styles, a lot of people who are in WWE or in WWE's recent purview, you know what I mean? So I think this is a good thing. I hope for the best, but it'll always feel in a little bit of my heart, like 2%, this is a tryout for those at the top of the TNA card to go to NXT, or to be like, well, maybe not NXT. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. This is something that I kind of joked about, was that WWE could get a finder's, or TNA could get a finder's fee for the TNA stars that they send over from, you know, from TNA to NXT. People have shot that down to me, but at the same time, it's like, doesn't mean they can't happen. So I, again, cautiously optimistic. It's in TNA's best interest to have this type of deal. I do hope that it gives a lot of talent an opportunity to see the PC and the way that that WWE does things, because if that's where people want to land, then you have access to some of that stuff. From the production side, God, do I hope that WWE allows TNA, or at least gives TNA the opportunity to upgrade their production. I would like that very much, but I don't know if that's part of an ongoing conversation or just you do your thing, we'll do ours, and you get talent in exchange.
I think there's a way down the line, especially if they end up doing some sort of you said about the belts not changing hand. If there was ever a situation where the TNA belt, wow, I'm having a stroke in 4K. If there was a way where the TNA belt went over to WWE or vice versa, I could see the production value going higher just to market it in a better light. But I do think that's possible years down the line, depending on how things do. The first one was a trial run, and it obviously did so well, they decided to make it a multi-year run. There's absolutely a chance where the North American Championship or the X Division would be a cold day in hell. Maybe the digital media, I don't know. But it's possible.
Ryan Lambert's in the chat. He's usually in our in the Weeds chat as well. Yes, will TNA have some sort of access to the PC? And this was something that Joe Hendry had mentioned that he did have access to when he was in between like doing TNA and NXT appearances. This is something that I hope is, again, part of the deal. It's not officially out there, but it is something that I'm sure we'll ask about, because it should be offered when they're in the vicinity, but also it's got to be planned ahead. It's one of those, you can't just walk in and train. You probably have to, you know, get yourself set up.
No, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. Like if you guys are in the Florida area and you guys have time, just email us ahead of time and let us know who's going to be there. I think that would be fair, because if it's one hand washes the other, I think if everyone, not so much just training in a certain style, but if everyone is training with everybody and you get to know different people's styles, it makes professional wrestling as a whole better.
And again, remember that as of right now, TNA is a product that tapes twice a month. They are not a busy out there weekly televised show. The show is televised weekly, but the show is taped. Doing a live show every once in a while is also good, but other than, you know, a plus show or a pay-per-view, the only other time that they're really doing anything is a TV taping the next day, or a weekend TV taping to get from one pay-per-view to the next on a 5-week cycle.
Not mad at that. Like, I feel like TNA is such a good cycle if you're someone who still picks up indie bookings, and TNA's always been really good about that. So
yeah, so that's kind of where that partnership is at right now. Just Ricardo sent a super chat saying, watching on delay, hi guys, by the time you get this we will have been long off the air, but it's good to see you. Thanks, Ricardo.
Appreciate probably
it. Yeah, so let's talk real quick. Genesis is this Sunday. We will have a post show, myself, Cressa Star, and of course Steven Jensen, who hosts the Weekender podcast on FightfulSelect.com. We got your six. Is that what we call it now? Either way, the best $6 in the business. Go subscribe. So much news, so much content. Jensen will join us as well. Let's run down this card and give me your thoughts, shall we?
Yes, sir.
On the pre-show, Frankie Kazarian takes on Leon Slater.
Honestly, Leon Slater needs to beat this old man up.
Fine with it. There's two ways of thought. Leon Slater wins, moves on. Frankie Kazarian then feels like he needs to make an impact, no pun intended, and then cashes in his Call Your Shot that night, and then we have everything I said completely out the window and I'm upset. Or Frankie Kazarian gets the win. Leon Slater says, oh, maybe I should work with this guy who's trying to make me get to my next best level. Maybe that's the beginning of a story there. So I see one of those two options. Or the match just happens, and then later on Frankie teases a cash in, but JBL stops him again.
I agree with that, and I can see Frankie saying, oh, I was just focused on the match later on, and this little guy, I can see Kaz making excuses.
Yeah, exactly. For the X Division Championship, Moose defends against Ace Austin. Ace has been very vocal about his singles run and Chris Bay being in support of this, and of course, Moose is going to debut a new X Division Championship fit for him, so it'll be really friggin' ugly.
See, as a fan of wrestling, if a champion is debuting a new title, that often means they're gonna win. It would be funny and hilarious if they debut a new title and then he loses. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. And it kind of sucks because I feel like the way that they've built Ace Austin, I'm fully bought into it. But how are you going to introduce a belt just for him to, I guess. I want Ace Austin to win, but my brain says the moose is loose.
Just wasting company resources. Be very, very on brand.
I mean, honestly, sometimes I want to cause the most chaos as I can.
I think Moose wins, and we haven't seen the end of Ace Austin in the X Division.
No, I agree. I think there's a way back, but just the way that they, again, TNA does a good job at building up wrestlers with their wrestler profile, and damn it, not to know Moose.
The other system members, Edward Edwards and Brian Myers, take on Eric Young and Steve Macklin. I'm personally of the belief that this will be Young and Macklin getting the win, and we start moving forward with their tag team push.
I agree with that 1,000%, even with interference from JDC.
Oh, that's right, that guy. And your favorite will be there, too.
Do you want to know something?
She will want to know something. I hope she does it in a Texas accent.
Well, yeehaw, do you want to know something, y'all?
Perfect.
I'm sorry.
No, it's great. Spitfire takes on the Elegance for the tag team knockouts championship. Congratulations to the Elegance.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're not wrong. I wish you were.
It's okay. They'll have plenty to do for Threat and Luna after this.
Oh, hell yeah, brother.
It'll be fine. What else is on this card? Hardys take on the Rascals for the TNA World Tag Team Championships. I think this will be a really, really fun match. I think this is one of those two guys who looked up to the Hardys going up. It's a respect match. And again, Trey and Wentz are very special athletes, and the Hardys are the Hardys. So I look forward to this, but I expect the Hardys to retain their tag titles.
I 1,000% agree. It's one of those situations where I've taught you everything I know, not all I know, and the Hardys are going to outsmart the Rascals with their wildly veteran tactics.
The Rams will win again. I don't remember what it stands for anymore. Righteous something, something, something. Jeff Hardy did it. He coined it.
Oh, righteous and marvelous.
Yeah, now I got to look at this up. Hold on. What are we, January 2nd? There we go.
Ugh, my brain.
I know, my brain too. This is so stupid. Righteous Angelic Magnificent Souls. I had to look this up when I did the post show. Not the post show. I did the Genesis pre-show on True Heel Heat with SP3. And I had to look that up too. The Rams, not the football team.
I thought this was a football reference. And the fact that it's this thing and I totally forgot about it makes me, one, upset. But also, too, wish I could go back to a time where I forgot about
it. Yeah, it's from 2 weeks ago, so who knows? What else is on this show? Masha Slamovich versus Rosemary for the Knockouts World Championship. It's a Clockhouse Orange House of Fun match. First question, will Raven be there? And if he's not, what the hell's wrong with this company?
Raven will be there, and I will have to watch this. And Masha's going to win, but they're going to need a new mat.
Yeah, they'll probably change the mat after that match.
Disgusting.
Jordynne Grace has her final match for TNA on pay-per-view. Unfortunately, she's gonna lose.
I'm sorry, I was summoning Cthulhu. Nope.
Josh Alexander and Mike Santana fight in an I Quit match. I am very much looking forward to this one. Mike Santana, to me, gets the win. Josh Alexander shakes his hand and says, "You are now the heart and soul of TNA wrestling. You are the standard. You, I bequeath sinner and saint." Which sinner and saint look at each other and they're just like, "Wait, what?" And now they belong to Mike Santana.
I lost you guys in the divorce.
I put honestly, the I Quit match.
I don't want to see this match either. I have a feeling this is going to get bloody too, and I don't like that. But also, Mike Santana is going to win, and Senator Saint is going to be like, "Ah, what the?" They jump Josh Alexander, never to be seen again. They jump him, throw him in the undead realm and say, come back when you find Taya, nerd.
I mean, Josh is going to be at the tapings the next night, so unless they write him off that night.
Let me have my kayfabe moment.
He's got a month left on his deal. Come on. Let them both. They both kick each other in the dick and quit at the same time.
Both men just pass out from the pay because of family jewels. Honestly, I love a good dick punch in TNA. Dick punch and ear bite, face biting, only in TNA. Let's go.
Be plenty of that in the main event.
Not the main event? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Nick Nemeth and Joe Hendry for the TNA World Championship. It's time, baby. No more honey dicking. More like honey kicking. Joe Hendry's got to win this thing.
I believe in Joe Hendry. Clap, clap. I need to find my shiniest, most ceruleanest shirt and show up on Sunday as Joe Hendry. I think I'll make my hair blonde for that moment, for that exact moment.
Yeah, he's going to have a new dye job by then.
Hell yeah. Listen, it grows out.
Wouldn't know. My hair is naturally the colors it is.
I go to the store, I look at it, and I Photoshop it onto my head. I'm actually Sean Ross Sapp, so.
Oh, yeah. And a month ago, it was Jade Chung's last night on the show. So there's that. I still don't know who the ring announcer is. I still expect it to be Christy Hemme. And everyone's going to be like, oh, it's going to be Christy. And I'm going to be like, all right, Christy's back.
Call me TNA. I could ring announce. I can read. I've notoriously said on this show that I don't read. And not me trying to convince somebody that I read.
God, have you thought about running for president?
I mean, I've got less qualifications than this. No, I have more qualifications than this guy. I mean, I could do it. You know what? First order of business, healthcare for all wrestlers, okay? She's revolutionary.
Not really. There was a guy who tried that once. It didn't really go over well.
I mean, we both got the one earring thing going on.
It is true. It is true. We'll be back Sunday for the TNA Genesis post show. Cresta, myself, and Steven Jensen once again. Check out the Fightful Awards also on Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk so much on this post show. It's going to be a busy one. So, Cresta, what else you got going on?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure being here with you. You're fantastic. So upcoming this Saturday, I'm going to be live with Iridian and, wow, Rick. His name, I was about to say Jake something. I don't know why. Rick something. Anyway, I'll be live for the Collision Post Show here on Fightful. Sunday, I will be live with Joel Pearl and Steven Jensen for the Genesis Post Show. And every Wednesday, you can catch me on my personal channel, twitch.tv, because TikTok is not going to be in the USA for much longer, baby. So you can catch me over on twitch.tv/QuestTheStar. Every Wednesday, we watch AEW Dynamite together, and I can't wait to get to know you. You can follow me on all forms of social media, even Blue Sky, QuestTheStar, CrestaStar, two R's because I'm a pirate. I love you. I respect you. Your butt looks nice. I hope you find $20 on the floor. Joel Pearl, where can the people find you and what you got going on?
One of these days, I'm going to actually complete the bit where I find a $20 bill on the floor of my place. And
I'm going to tell you, your butt looks nice.
Thank you. I mean, I'm married, but thank you.
You're welcome. Her butt looks nice too. How about that? Equality.
She would appreciate that. She would very much appreciate that. I'm going to go tell her after this. She's probably asleep. Anyway, I am Andrew Pearl. I go in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. Go to FightfulOverbooked.com and get some more information. 10 a.m. Eastern is when we do it, and we go about 2 hours. It's a morning show. It's exactly what you think it's going to be, and then some. Except for that one guy one time who was like, oh, Jeremy's bashing Bluey. That's enough for me. I'm never watching the show again. I was like, that's what did it? We made fun of Bluey, and that was your turnoff points?
Not the dog.
It was the dog. I don't know what happened there. It was very strange. We're on Sunday here on the main channel talking TNA Genesis. And then next Thursday's show is also going to be a special one because TNA Live Impact will have aired. So I'm sure that we'll have an influx of people who maybe watch the show as well. I hope so. Hopefully we'll be talking about Joe Hendry declaring for the Royal Rumble, Jordan Grace maybe doing the same, and Macha Slamovich getting a new opponent in Cora Jade. Who knows? We'll talk about that and plenty more Sunday and then next Thursday. But for Cresta Star, I am at Joel Pearl or thejoelpearl.com over on the Blue Sky. Go find me there, would you? That's where I want to talk to you. That's where I want to be with you. Like Mr. Big said, that the song was called To Be With You. Go watch it. Drop a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, do the whole thing. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log in to your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.